Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Triforce podcast. Coming at you week one of the lockdown.
Oh my god, what interesting times that we live in, huh?
Coming at you from a safe distance.
This is the first recording I've done from home.
Nice.
So it might be a bit echoey, a bit different.
Right. Because he lives in such a big house, is what he's trying to say. Listen, hear the echo from the West Wing and the East Wing in my foyer area. The marble floors might cause some echoing. Apologies.
Jeeves, could you bring me another bagel?
This is a topical joke because the one and the only Chuckles, Prince Charles, has contracted the coronavirus. He has
That's
it.
True.
And he held audience with the Queen just a couple of weeks ago, and she's old, and he's old too. They're like the target demographic for the virus to.
They eat very well, though. Oysters and things like this. They got a lot of like good vitamins.
Woke
nutrients
up with
in
a frightful
them.
Cough this morning. Couldn't shift the blasted thing. I think I've got corona, mummy.
Frightful, Charles.
Oh, man.
Oh, Charles, don't be silly. That's all the poor people get that.
Yes, quite right, mother.
He hasn't had any, he says he feels fine. He hasn't had any symptoms, but, you know, things
haven't
get
had
worse.
A single symptom.
Man, hopefully the
apart
NHS
from this
isn't.
Giant carbuncle on my bottom. Is
hopefully he got it early enough, because, like, if the NHS is too busy, he might not get a bed or eventually.
Yeah, he'll have to queue. Come on.
Excuse me, I've been waiting 3 hours. This boy has a splinter. I'm pretty sure it's not serious. I am the heir to the throne. Yes, I know. I'll take a seat.
Oh, man.
I reckon kids are getting more splinters and stuff because everyone's at home. Do you reckon people are falling off ladders and drilling themselves in the hand and stuff? You know, do you reckon like household?
I guarantee you that people are doing far more DIY than they would have normally, because I've several of the guys I hang out with on Discord are saying that all they can hear from their neighbors is like hammering and drilling. So I thought either they're trying to cover up their wild sex noises with leave a drill running and so they can go at it. Or people are like, well, may as well put those shelves up I've been putting off for 18 months and sort of get on with it.
Yeah, that's
I got my bike out. I pumped up the tires. And while I was doing it, because one of the tires was like, it's really awkward to get the little, you know, that stupid little clip thing.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, you mean to take the tire off?
Once you've pumped the tire up, you want to pull that thing off as quickly as possible so you don't lose all the air that added.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway, it wouldn't come off, and I yanked it, and then I managed to pull it too hard, and I stabbed my knuckle on the gears.
God damn.
And so now I've got this big sort of cut on my knuckle. And I was like, was bleeding quite a lot. And I'm like, that's something I could treat with plasters and Savlon. But, you know, if someone had actually, you know, even me stuck at home, nothing's changed. I'm literally the same. If anything, I feel guilty.
That my life has changed so little. Yeah, no, my life has barely changed.
Like, oh, I'm at home all the time. I'm bored. I don't get to go outside. I'm like, I never, Should I be going outside? Is this what I've been doing wrong all this
time?
Yeah,
no, like, I felt the same thing. But then I'm like, but the, you know, Tarkov is entertaining me. It, when I get bored of that, there's been a new expansion for Stellaris. Hold on, there's someone at the door. I'll be back.
There shouldn't be anyone at the door.
I don't know who it is.
Yeah, well, you know what? It might be a social distancing postman because they're out. They're out there. They got their masks. They got the 2-meter rule.
Yeah.
My postman delivered some stuff to me the other day and just left it on the hood of my car and shouted at me from outside, "I'm just going to leave it on the hood of your car." Okay. Thanks very much. That was good. I wish they were like that all the time, honestly. Like, I don't think they need to come right up to my door or talk to me ever or whatever. Honestly, I think this social distancing has been good. I think we can all learn something from this. Let's not talk to each other more in the future after we're past all this.
Hello.
Hello.
It was a delivery driver, and he left the parcel on the doorstep and ran away.
Nice.
Which I understand.
Nice.
It's my birthday on Sunday.
Right.
So I think Mrs. F had ordered something for my birthday. So I'm going to pretend that I didn't look inside, but it's like a... It says it's a bar in a box.
Oh.
I don't know what that means. So I guess you open it up and it's like a mini, it looks like a little bar and she can serve.
Oh, no. No, you're going to have to
what
screw
if it's plutonium?
That. Put that together. You're going to have to get the drill out.
What if it's plutonium?
Yeah, you never know. Like just a bar of plutonium. Like it's not specific on what kind of bar it is.
That's true.
You
know? Micro bar of radioactive material. It says on the back of the box. Do
you
not open.
Know. You can get anything on Amazon these days as well. So like... You know.
I wonder if you could buy radioactive material.
You don't need
I'm
to
not,
buy
I'm
it.
Not
you
gonna
can
Google
just,
it.
Just go down to your local creek and you can get some for free where all of the where all big energy have dumped it.
Near right, Mr. Right, Burns power
right,
plant.
Right behind your suburb. Yeah. You don't need to buy any of that shit. You get it for free.
Smithers, do you think my plant killed those fish?
There's no maybe about it, sir. Excellent.
Oh man, so interesting times that we live in where everybody has to stay at home. You're only allowed to go out and exercise once a day. You're not allowed to speak to people that aren't part of your household, or at least you have to be 2 meters away from them. I went to town the other day and everybody was ignoring all these rules. Everybody was
really?
Just out doing going to the pub and just like having a good time stuff. There's like 15 cases over here, so people should sort of be a little bit careful, but...
Well, more stronger rules came in from Monday, didn't they?
But I did notice that instead of handshaking, you know, people who work at the same office when they bump into each other on the weekend or whatever, and it's always like really extroverted, like, "Oh, hey, Randy!" And they shake hands and stuff. There was no handshake. There was an elbow touch. They did like an elbow bump. With each other.
You saw,
I saw an elbow bump
in the wild.
Elbow bump out there in
I
the wild.
I didn't think that people were actually doing that.
Yes.
It's the safest way of bumping these days.
I've been doing the, "Oh, hello," and we wave and we stand about 5 meters apart and chat when I bump
into
people.
You don't want to do any flesh touching. So
I've seen a few of that. So I went out for a walk yesterday and stayed. I think I stayed a couple of meters away from everyone the whole time. And there were a bunch of people talking to their neighbors outside their balcony windows. So I saw a lot of people chatting with each other on the balconies, yelling across the balconies to each other.
Right.
There was a couple of people out pushing prams around and like, you know, just trying to like looking frazzled or having like to wrangle kids and stop them, you know, stop them from like don't touch the railing too much.
Well, kids are, they don't have any concept of what's going on. Like, don't get me wrong. They're probably a bit like scared because things have changed or whatever, but and they're like, you get out there and you're like, "Okay, we're gonna go outside," but you can't go near anyone. They're just running around like up to people and stuff. You're like, "Oh fuck, I just told you don't go near anyone," but they don't understand, you know, like they're just gonna do shit the way that they've always done it, so you can't really stop them. But yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's a weird one. My son has been FaceTiming his friends.
Yes.
Who are also at home in quarantine.
My daughter's doing that right now with most of her class, which is chaotic.
So they get onto FaceTime and they're like, "What are you doing?" "I'm playing Minecraft."
Yeah.
"Oh, I'm just about to eat my lunch." And, you know, it's just like, Fuck me. I wish I was a kid again. That'd be awesome. Imagine you get all this time off school.
My kids
Minecraft
are. Yeah, they're doing all right. I mean, I'm giving them home learning and stuff. Like, I've been in the evenings when I start streaming, they've been, or in the afternoons, they've been bringing up the essays that I make them write in the morning, and I've been reading them and stuff, and they've been quite good.
Oh, my God. Okay, wow. First of all, I can imagine, like, day one, you're a dad, right? So you've managed to get a whiteboard or a blackboard from somewhere.
No, I haven't.
And you've written on the blackboard, Mr. Dad.
Mr. Dad.
Mr. Dad. You may call me Dad if you want. I will be your substitute teacher for the foreseeable as we are having to remain indoors. So please get out a pen and a piece of paper and write me an essay about, and then I have to come up with a subject. And I've been like, write one about iCarly, because my youngest had been watching that. So I was like, tell me about iCarly, write about that show. And she wrote me an essay about iCarly. My eldest wrote one about Pokemon today. I haven't read it yet. And I just make them write essays about stuff just to get them used to the idea of thinking about something, putting it on a piece of paper, practicing handwriting, spelling. And then we've got these exercise books that Mrs. F ordered online that are things like maths and English challenges and things. Just practice grammar and all the rest of it. Because it's important they stay in touch with their brains rather than what they want to do, which is lie on their sofa and watch the iPad. Or
man, you should just get them like one of those like stock market, like penny trading apps or something, and just let them go fucking nuts. Like, figure it out, you know, do like all like the calculations, the math and stuff. I think that's much more useful. And then potentially your household can make some money off the back of this.
So you're saying put them to work as a sort of ad hoc child labor trading floor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's entrepreneurial.
Yeah. Well, like all of the pro players not all the pros, but a lot of the pros are like start playing the game when they're like 8 or 9, right? And then by the time they're 14 or 15, they're like the best.
Game that there ever was and that there ever will be. And nobody.
Some of like the best StarCraft players are like teenagers.
Yeah.
And so like you need to like put your kids. Yeah. Think about it.
Get them on those.
I reckon
they'd
be better stock traders than like the pros.
Start them low, and then you can go for high stakes stuff when they have a control over the app, you know, they know how to use the app better and their analysis is a little bit more spot on.
Be like poker. Maybe you should teach poker.
I know a friend of mine did, he works in the banking and stuff. And he said that every year there'll be like a big hoo-ha about who the trader of the year is. And it'll be some guy who's made like $5 billion in profit for his fund or whatever. And it's like, yeah, there he is smiling and grinning. They're like, what is his secret? Next year, never heard of him. Like, nothing. You know, the dude just did like everybody else. It's just a lot of the stock market stuff. I mean, you can't honestly say that some expert is out there who's cracked it. Because if that was the case, they'd all have cracked it. Every time you buy low and sell high, someone is buying high and selling low. Like, it's just cyclical. It goes round and round. And then sometimes you're on the right side and sometimes you're on the wrong side. So,
that's the golden rule, isn't it? Buy low, sell high. Like that.
Yeah, buy high, sell as low as possible. Right. Now, that may sound counterintuitive, but someone's doing it.
Someone's definitely doing it.
It's because if I'm selling when it's high, someone's buying it when it's high.
You know who's doing it? It's the guy on the World of Warcraft auction house that undercuts you by 1,000 gold instead of one copper. That's the guy who's doing it. That's the guy who's buying high and selling low. Because when you sell low, things sell faster. And that's, of course, more important.
Of course.
You want things to sell faster. So that's why they go low. Yeah.
I mean, because it always surprises me when they say buy low, sell high. That it can't, like, some people must be thinking this is going to keep going up. So they buy it high and then it crashes and they lose money. But some guys made money. Yeah. And then maybe next time he'll be the one buying when it's high when he should have been buying when it's low. Yeah. I mean, I've read all this stuff saying this coronavirus represents an outstanding opportunity for the money-making, shareholding, investment portfolio entrepreneur guy because this represents what's called a bargain. All these prices have crashed. Now is the time to invest. And I'm thinking, are they saying that because they want to drive the price up? Because they're like, great, another crisis. Awesome. Prices are going to nosedive. We'll buy low and then everything will recover and we'll make a shitload of money. They must all be thinking that, right?
Yeah. Well, they're all lizards, so yeah.
Well, I think, of course. It's the economy. It's a gambling game, isn't it? And for us, certainly, you know, we shouldn't... there's a classic thing like that, you know... a bubble or it's not the right time to invest when everyone's talking about it. Like when Bitcoin, everyone's like, buy Bitcoin. And every taxi driver was buying Bitcoin. You know, that was like the time when
that was not the time.
Bitcoin was at its peak and it's never reached that. You know, that was a couple of years ago and it's all just half the price it was then right now. Right. You know, like that's my indicator that if people are talking about something being that, like if people in the street are telling you, a type of rush in the stock market is not the time to invest.
Yes, because it's too late. It's too late by that point.
Yeah. You've
missed out on the profit window.
It is just too late.
I don't know, like, but investing is all about 20-year time horizons anyway, you know, so it's not hugely important. Unless, of course, your pension's coming up, in which case, for you, PFLEX, much more important.
Oh, man, that reminds me.
You're sorry, you can get that in there. I don't, you know, how old am I going to be on Sunday, Lewis?
45?
44, thank you.
44. Yeah,
damn.
Oh. Congrats, man.
How big is your pension pot now?
I have no pension. I don't think I have any pension.
It's your pension pot.
I mean,
you have a pension, don't you?
Whatever the state pension is, that's what I've got. I haven't worked for 10 years, and I never had a steady job, so... And I haven't been paying into a pension fund. I should have.
See, are you on the dole?
Well...
No, I'm not on the dole.
Why not?
I have been. Because I'm self-employed and I
claim
pay taxes.
It's rightfully yours.
I'm not unemployed. I'm self-employed.
Yeah, that's true.
Lots of people use an alternative to the pension idea.
Yeah.
You know, then it's not... Don't feel guilty about not putting money into it necessarily.
I feel terrible.
Right? Well, don't, because...
I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, Mrs. F will have a good pension.
Have you been paying off your house, I assume?
Yeah, yeah.
And things like that. Like, that in a way is saving for...
But I want to be able to leave the house to someone rather than just sell it. Like those bastards on the Nationwide ads that I was talking about.
Yeah.
The ones who talk about fucking equity in their houses, right? I don't want to be that old fart.
No.
Who's like, we decided to fuck our kids' future up even more by drawing down the equity. So some bank owns most of our house and then we can spunk it on a mobile home and fuck off to Spain for a couple of years. I don't want to be that guy, right? I want to be financially solvent when I'm older. Or I figure I could just die before I claim my pension and then, you know, it makes it everything a lot simpler.
All of these things are terrible attitudes, PFLEX. You know, your kids will be fine without you and shouldn't need to live on your handouts. If they are, then it's unfortunately
a situation. About?
Unfortunately, well, they haven't figured out
they don't need
the
a windfall
10
of,
easy
of,
steps to becoming you know, a multimillionaire that I've
they don't
outlined
need
in
half
my new
a million
book.
Pounds when you die.
Lewis
you know,
Brindley,
suddenly.
How to become a millionaire in 10 easy steps.
Step one. Tell your kids to get fucked.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I never expected my parents, and I don't think your parents, your kids, if you ask them, if you say to your kids, you know, do you expect, you know, £500,000 when I die? They won't say yes.
Step
Dad,
one.
You better live like a pauper to pay, you know, to give me a free house when I'm, when I'm 40.
I think you're missing the whole point of inherited wealth, which is that without it, you're in the same position as a lot of very poor people out there and a lot of demographic groups who have no inherited wealth. Like if you die and leave your kids nothing, there's been like the whole point of being a parent is that you want your kids to be better off than you were. That's the whole point.
No,
you
see, want it to be I don't, better for I don't them. Agree with that because I don't want them to be better than me. I want to be the
right.
best.
That's so, Lewis's attitude.
When I go, I
want to
ensure that they are nowhere near as good as me. So that I can die comfortably knowing that I am the best and I died the best and nobody's ever going to overtake me.
That's great. I think what I'll do is I will leave them something, but maybe they have to follow an international trail of clues and puzzles.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, actually.
A bit like that film with what's his name in?
Around the World in 80 Days. You have to
send
them on
a
balloon race and stuff.
What was it called? National Treasure with Nick Cage?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, the inscription on the Liberty Bell will give you the clue to the next stage. And, you know, sort of like Crystal Maze. I'll have some assassins trying to catch them, some crocodiles.
This is like Dad at home. This is like Mr. Dad teaching them, though. It's like, go to the Eiffel Tower and write an essay about fucking, you know what I mean? It's like, go to the cathedral, go to the Vatican and... Fucking, you know, look at the tomb, read the inscription and write me 300 words
and
post it under my coffin.
Exactly. If they had to do some kind of John Wick style, you know, there are assassins around every corner, it would make them ready for any future impending
apocalypse. Kind of like, you know, going on a death adventure. Yeah, you could, going on a mission to like earn their inheritance.
If you want to look at it this way too, having children is like an investment, right? It's like kind of part of, it's the same way that you would invest into a pension fund, because if you invest into your kids enough, and in certain societies this holds true than in others.
Very, very common, even today, that, you know, you need people to work the farm. Who better than
no?
How
but
better
I'm
to
talking about
yourself?
People who are willing to tolerate you as an elderly person. Because let's face it, the rest of society is not up for it, right?
That's like, in Asia. That's very common.
I wouldn't expect
in Asia.
My kids to tolerate me now, let alone as an elderly.
The West,
person.
We just see old people as like crusty and a pain in the ass. Nobody wants to do anything with them. Everybody just wants to shove them into retirement homes and forget about them and stuff like that. But I think if you have a good relationship with your kids, like, you know, they might build a little house for you to live in, like next to theirs and stuff, you know, like they might look after you, might have a really pleasant old life instead of, you know, just being forgotten about.
Wait, can you go downstairs? I can't hear. Good Lord. Jesus.
See, Flax is putting in the work right now. He's not going to be forgotten. You know, that slamming that door in somebody's face, they're going to remember that one day, and they're going to be like, you know what? My dad taught me a valuable lesson. And then they're going to just slam the door to the retirement home in his face
They will. Maybe they won't. I'm not saying that I haven't helped to look after my parents, you know, to some extent,
right?
You know, and I'm
especially
happy
nowadays.
To, I'm glad
you got
to,
you know, they're vulnerable. Your parents, like, they're older, right?
I think you know, it's very easy to contribute. I was speaking to someone the other day, and they said that, you know, they've got something like someone who's been affected by this crisis, and they said that they had, you know, about 20 grand in savings or something. But if their mum needed it more than they did, they'd give it to their mum. And I was like, that's really generous of you. That's really good of you. And that it's like gambling. It's like playing the stock market. Like, you know, sometimes you might get a kid who's a heroin addict, you know, but sometimes you might get that kid, you know. I don't know.
Have you been playing the game of life recently or something?
I don't know. I think this is I don't know. It's not very nice to think of your kids as an investment in your future.
No, I was saying that is a way you could look at it if you wanted to. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's a healthy way of looking at it, but
I feel like most of the time kids are a sacrifice that you are willing to, almost like they become more important from what you two have said anyway. Sort of they become the priority in your life. You know, your selfishness goes away, and they become the priority. And I think, like you said, you know, making sure you want to leave something for them is a very common thing that a generation feels like they have to provide for their progeny. But at the same time, I feel like you end up with at the rich end of the spectrum, you end up with the Walmart heirs, you know, taking over, or, you know, even companies being led by their son, or it's like the monarchy, you know, back in the day. They were not the best. The family members were not the best people. Sometimes you get a good king. Sometimes you get.
Well, that's why a lot of monarchies
idiot.
Have failed, though. That, you know, there's tons of them have dissolved over the years. There's only a couple that aren't like massive dictators and stuff. I think like the British monarchy is probably one of the best examples of, you know, a monarchy that has like it's like a constitutional monarchy and it works quite well. It's not like
Prince Charles.
Yeah, it's like.
How do you think about this, Prince Charles?
Prince Charles, what do you think about what I'm saying here about the monarchy?
Hey. I am too poorly to comment on any rumors regarding
rumors
regarding my inheritance of the throne. Please I bring me the royal paracetamol and a glass of royal Barocca.
I think he has
clout. Like, I mean, I don't have any respect for Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg,
sure,
but, let alone their kids.
No,
do you know what I mean?
But like, there's definitely, like, in a monarchy, there's some proofing in it, right? Like, because you could have, like, a situation whereby, you know, you would have had, like, Charles and then, like, Andrew and the other one.
Oh, back in the day.
Would have been in line.
Yeah, they'd kill a weak kid.
But then,
they?
But then
the other
because
one,
Charles went to have.
Prince Edward! Do not forget him!
Yeah, nobody cares. But because Charles had children, then they get pushed back because his children take take priority, right? And then his children's children then take priority. And now they've changed it.
We
so
need
that-
some Game of Thrones up in here. We need like a war. Like Harry is Stannis Baratheon.
Yes. But like, they've recently changed it where women or girls are part of the lineage now too. So Princess Charlotte is, you know, in the order that she was born, she is in line for becoming the queen, which is like a recent change. But you see what I mean? It makes it so that some of the undesirables get pushed back further and further and further.
Oh, like, I see. Because, yeah, in a monarchy, they always change the rules.
Nobody wants King Andrew or King Edward. You know what I mean? Like, or even Charles. You know what I mean? Like, hopefully they just wait out Charles and he just gives up his claim, just says, you know what? Fuck, I'm too old. I don't want to do this anymore. And then, you know, it gets passed down to somebody who might be better. Sort of thing. Like, yeah. there's definitely some like.
I just think like
safeguarding.
There needs to be like some sort of sliding scale on inheritance, right? Where Jeff Bezos's idiot child doesn't inherit, you know, $70 trillion in order to completely fuck the world up with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we need some sort of sliding scale. If you're going to inherit more than, you know, $100 billion, there should be some sort
of.
Well,
it's their money. They do what they want with it.
Tax.
You know, he can make the spruce moose and live on the moon if he wants with it. It's his money. and if his kid inherits it, it's his money. But it's whatever.
Yeah, do you know what? That's fine.
You have no control over any of this anyway.
Okay,
yes,
fine.
You guys are fucking idiots. What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
You never heard of estate tax?
Yeah.
Well, but how?
These guys spend their whole lives avoiding that kind of stuff. Like they know how to do it.
It's a lot. It's a lot of. It's a big chunk. Because the whole point is, if someone earns that money and just leaves it to some idiot, then that money is entrenched potentially in a line of idiots.
Yeah, but nobody's doing that. Nobody's leaving massive lump sums. It's all assets and like by the time his son takes it over,
it'll
be either it'll be entrusted
and vast areas of real
estate,
or
he'll
have
become like the CEO of the corporation, and then he'll get around all the inheritance stuff anyway. You know what I mean? It's not like Jeff Bezos, like the moment before he dies, is going to liquidate everything and then here you go, Timmy. This is all I was worth. It's about $3 trillion. The lawyers will just sort it out for you. Be a bit of tax.
I think that actually P-Flex is 100% right about inheritance, because there's this issue where some communities, like black communities in America, were never made like right. You know, they were never brought up to the same kind of wealth standard as the local white folk.
There was a bill called An Acre and a Mule. And the plan was, or 100 acres and a mule or something like that. The plan was post-emancipation, because they realized that essentially, like, there's a really famous cartoon that illustrates this. And it's a bunch of people trying to watch a race, right? Or trying to run in a race. And imagine if some people started on the start line and other people started right near the finish and claimed, oh, what do you mean? It's a fair race. Just get on with it. You know, everybody's got in the same boat. If I start with $100 billion assets, I'm not running the same race as someone else. So that's an extreme example, right? But if you imagine black slaves have just been freed in North America,
right,
and they're told, you're free. There you go. Get on with it. Catch up. But you've already got people that have been living there that are inheriting things like farms and houses and money from their parents. So when you hand that down generation to generation, the other generation doesn't get a chance to catch up because shit's already owned. Like
Mr. Dad,
what?
Is this going to be on the exam?
Yes, this is. So pay attention. So they had a chance to give reparations to the freed slaves of giving them some land and some livestock to get started on a farm. Because that
Mr.
way...
Dad,
yes.
Mr. Dad, can I go to the toilet?
You may, yeah. But I'm going to hold the lesson till you get back.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just wait. I can wait a minute.
I thought you might be able to wait. So they voted it down. They had this chance to do that and they voted it down. And the idea that, oh, you should be able to catch up, you've been free for X number of years, is
Mr.
like...
Mr. Dad, Sips is poking me.
No, I didn't.
Sips is poking me.
Listen to me, you two, both of you, right now. If you can't sort this out and enjoy this lesson, or at least endure it, I'm going to do this again tomorrow. And
Mr.
you're going to have
You normal. Suck! You suck! This sucks!
All right, were you looking forward to playing on your computer? Were you looking forward to playing on your computer later? Well, you were, weren't you?
Yeah.
You were going to maybe play Tarkov or something else like that. That's done for today. You can wait till tomorrow.
No,
you do that again,
I wasn't planning on doing that today, actually, Mr. Dad.
Cool, what were you going to do?
I had other plans.
Okay, well, they're cancelled as well. You can come and see me after school. You can spend a couple of hours helping me tidy up.
God damn it.
Oh, God, this is true. This is really triggering
God
me.
God damn it, Mr.
God,
Dad.
It's like it's some deeply suppressed memory. Fuck, sorry, God, were you
trouble.
Actually my teacher?
I got in trouble this one time at school, okay? And I at this point, I'd gotten sick of getting in trouble, all right? Because I felt like I was being, like profiled in a way. Not racially. It was more like I had a reputation for being a disruptive member of the class. So I got kicked out of class a lot. And it seemed like off the back of nothing sometimes, you know? It was almost like a preemptive kicking you out of class because they just knew that I was going to be somehow disruptive or whatever. And I wasn't even really that bad. Like just a bit of like talking or giggling or whatever at the back of the class, you know, like pretty harmless.
I think you
stuff.
Got a stamp on it pretty early on though.
So anyway,
what we had to, if we got kicked out, hold on, just let me ask, if did you have the same thing where when you were kicked out, the whole point is there's a mean teacher that patrols the corridors looking for kids who've been kicked out and giving them detention, because that's what happened to us.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So if you were kicked out and then the patrolling teacher caught you being kicked out, you got in even more trouble. So I got kicked out of class a lot.
It's like a child catcher out in the corridor
yeah.
with like a
yeah,
net.
I know, it's pretty weird.
They're patrolling like, oh, which ones are joining my detention today?
So at some point in my school career, I decided that I was being unlawfully kicked out of class. And then so I got kicked out of class by this one teacher and he's like, okay, I'm kicking you out because you're being disruptive, but also you're going to come back in here at the end of school for like a detention. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then he was like, you better do that. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I just went home. And then as soon as I got home, I just said to my dad, I'm supposed to be in detention, but I just left. And my dad just sort of like didn't say anything. But I could see like a tear form in his eye, like as he looked at me. I was like, yeah. And he, I think it was like at that point where he realized my child son is becoming a man who can stand up for himself. And then, do you know what was weird
yeah.
though? The next day I went to school and that teacher didn't kick me out of class, didn't say a word to me, like didn't even let on like it happened. So I think I stripped him of his power by not going to the detention or refusing to go to the detention. And I think it got to the point where he was just like, I can't do anything with this guy. Like he's actually got me over a barrel here. Like my power is that people do what I say. And if somebody doesn't do what I say, I'm without power. So I effectively neutered him for the rest of the year. It was awesome.
All right. Any kids listening
wow.
to this, do not do that. That is a terrible lesson that Simpson just taught you.
It taught me a lot about being a man, though.
It's not. There's nothing manly about just being a dick and then not taking your punishment.
I wasn't
going
to do anything.
Don't fuck around in class. Really? What did they kick you out for? What,
I
just
don't
for
know.
Sitting there?
They didn't even explain. They were just like, all right, out you go. I was like, what? I was just in the middle of drawing a map or something. Like, I didn't do anything.
Oh, please.
A lot of the time, it is prison justice in there. People will just, you know, they know Sips is an easy target.
Yeah,
they want to make an example of him.
That's it. They want to make an example.
The teachers aren't other prisoners. They're not just picking on Sips. He was just sitting there minding his business. You just don't remember what you were doing. You were probably doing something really stupid.
I remember that he was a big bellend. I remember that much.
Yeah, I think a lot of teachers are good guys, but some of them are bellends.
Of course.
Yeah.
I went to school. I know. There were a lot of teachers that were absolute pricks, but they wouldn't just kick him out for nothing. He's literally sitting there quietly getting on with his work. Because here's the thing. You're saying the teacher's authority is that everyone listens. If you're not doing anything and they arbitrarily throw you out, they've lost respect and people will rebel.
Yeah.
You must have been doing something.
Well,
that's
it wasn't like that movie where they have like all the kids get gang up and they do a siege on the school and do a rebellion and stuff. It wasn't like that. Because my classmates were pussies. Like, I would have been up for it for sure. but nobody else was like behind me or whatever. So I just had to do a one-man rebellion, and it worked. Here's a story of the time it worked.
So just for anyone that went to Bournemouth School, I know there are a few listeners out there who went to Bournemouth School. Mr. Hawkins, who was still teaching until fairly recently when he died. Mr. Hawkins, he was the guy. He was still at the school, I'm sure, when some of you out there listening were at Bournemouth School. He was the guy that would wander around and say, "And what are you out here for?" And you'd say, "I was talking in class, sir." Ah, 3, 2, 1, detention. I'll see you later. And he'd walk off. He was insane.
Yeah, fuck those kind of teachers, though. What
you
the
need
hell?
Those characters. You need those.
You don't
fake,
need them.
Those
Get
weird
them out.
Characters.
Why do they have that job? That's creepy and weird and not appropriate. I don't think anybody should do that in their job. Like, take great delight in other people's misfortune and handing out punishments and stuff.
The thing is he was not a scary guy in that he was mean. When he was teaching, he was nice, he was amiable. But if you messed around, he would just look at you and you knew that he was enjoying it. Like, that was the thing. You knew that he didn't get a thrill out of it. But to him, this was like, oh, good, I get to punish them. This will put them back in line. Like, it was he'd been doing it for so long that it was like it was part of him to just punish. And because he had that crazy look in his eye, you knew, oh, I'm fucked. That's it. I'm going to get like a week's detention.
Because he has ultimate power.
Man, I think...
Because if you can't fuck with Hawkins, you just do... Because he's crazy enough that whatever you think he's... Oh, it'll just be detention.
Exactly, but
it'll
he's
be
like a cop, though, gone crazy with power. Like, he could... He's literally looking at you thinking, I could say you did anything. I could say you pulled a gun on me.
He never did that.
I could, like... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
but
could...
he didn't do that. He just deployed his authority. You sunk yourself. Because he'd say, what were you boys doing? And you'd always confess. So he was the cop who says, do you mind if I search the car? Oh, yeah, go for it. And you've got a ton of weed under the back seat. He's that cop. What you should say is, I do not consent to search, right? That's what you should do. But when Mr. Hawkins gives you that crazy look, you think, maybe he'll go easy on me if I tell him what we did.
No,
he'll say, oh, well, boys will be boys. But you don't. You just confess in the glare, the headlights of his eyes, staring into your soul. Mr. Hawkins crazy, popping out of his head eyes. Yeah. What have you boys been doing?
Man, one time I got in trouble for talking again. And we used to have like these like school distributed diaries. Like, you got one at the start of the year and it had like, you know, your school's logo on it. It wasn't like a fancy school or anything. I think it was just something that they were doing at the time. So it was like, it's kind of like a planner.
What were you meant to keep in there?
Well, you were meant to write like what your homework was that night for each day and shit like that. It was like a little like diary, like a little planner sort of thing. And so I got in trouble for fucking around in class. I was like laughing and joking around at the back of class or whatever. So this teacher is like, all right, that's it. Like, you're in trouble. You need to stay in after class. This is before my big rebellion where I'd stopped going to detentions. So like I was compliant. I went. So I went in and she's like, all right, fine. Let's see your diary. I was like, oh shit. Because like I didn't write anything in the diary like to do with school or whatever. It was just a glorified doodle pad.
Right.
And at the time, for some reason, I was drawing lots of pentagrams. I don't know why. It's just the thing that you do. And I was writing down lyrics to lots of songs that I was listening to at the time as well. So I was listening to lots of like Pearl Jam and like Nirvana and stuff like that. So this teacher starts going through this. It's just like fucking pentagrams everywhere. And
is
like,
that the same as the Star of David? The
no.
Pentagram?
No, it's not at all. No.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not quite the same
and,
shape, is it?
And there's all these like, questionable lyrics to songs in there and stuff too. And she just looked fucking mortified. Like, she was like, what does all this mean? I was like, what do you mean? I think she thought I was just being like abused and I was like fucking on drugs and everything. Like,
that's
she
what
actually
I always
looked genuinely concerned. I was like, honestly, it's nothing. Like, it's just, I just don't
what
use my diary for anything but doodling. She just
what
couldn't
if when,
accept
when
it.
She saw the pentagrams, she'd sort of looked up at you and locked the door and said,
she starts chanting.
He will rise again.
One of us.
Join us, young one. No, sorry, they're just doodles. Oh, right. Sorry, you know, forget.
I will see you in
joking around.
Detention in the basement. Wear the robe.
Oh, my God.
No, because I was doodling the Star of David, so maybe I was counteracting all of your
pentagrams. Yeah, maybe that's the balance that we were looking for. Yeah, maybe. Somewhere out there, somebody
because,
was Star of David-ing all of my pentagrams. There's always a balance in the universe out there if you look for it.
Yeah, holy shit. So anyway,
you saved my life.
Sorry to interrupt your lesson, P-Flax, about inheritance.
No, that's fine. People can feel free to look it up yourselves. But the point
is,
it's
been like a couple of hundred years, and the sort of the black community is still much worse off, and it is due to money being kept in families, a lot of it, like a lot or a long.
But more importantly, that you don't have anything to hand on. Like if you never get out of a situation where you're essentially in debt, like the only reason we were able to buy the house we live in now is because Mrs. F's grandmother left her some money when she died. And that gave us enough for a deposit. Now, if we weren't in that situation, we wouldn't have been able to buy a house in our late 20s, early 30s, whichever it was. And we would probably have just about got somewhere maybe a few years ago. It wouldn't have been where we are now.
It's a shame that our society is set up like that. And that's one of the reasons I think that maybe if inheritance taxes were higher, and I'm sure they are high anyway for certain people, but if they were higher at the higher end, maybe the wealth would have been transferred more equally around society and not been, you know, for hundreds of years kept in the same community.
Right.
So that was my point that I was trying to make earlier.
No, it's you're completely right. And I mean, I'm sure there will be some people who disagree and think it's other factors and all the rest of it, but
I'm sure there's
you can't ignore that factor. It is a big factor. And it explains a lot. Is like generational poverty is a real thing. And the idea
is
that,
a shame.
Oh, you're just going to pull up your bootstraps. Not everyone that is born into generational. I mean, it's also a thing like, let's say I was born into a family that had an unemployed father and an unemployed brothers, and I'm born and I am also unemployed, and then I have kids and they're unemployed. Where does that cycle break? You know what I mean? It's a real problem, and it becomes a sort of an endemic, and that's the issue.
It is a generational issue though too, because you'll have like
I don't think
people set out to be unemployed as such, you know what I mean? Like like a good example is like somewhere like Sheffield where that had like a massive steel industry that failed or just completely shut down. So you would have had generations of family that all worked there. All of a sudden, everybody is out of a job. Like your cousins, your uncles, your dad, your grandpa, like everybody depended on that one industry that is now gone, right? And that's where you did all of your skills existed and stuff. They're not transferable really. And then it's tough, right?
It is really tough. And I think the vast majority of families are just making do. They're not sitting on a big nest egg or something to pass on to the next generation. Right. I think that a lot of people have, certainly of this generation and the last generation, we're past the baby boom.
Yeah.
And our population is
but there's definitely older. There's definitely a larger portion of society that's moved out of the working class through the generations as well. Like off the back of previous generations sort of putting in a lot of extra work to ensure that, you know, their kids went to school and got better jobs than the ones that they had and had a better life and then pass that on. I'm not saying that happens all the time because it clearly doesn't. But more so now than ever, that has happened, right? There's families that have you know, gone up a class in society, if you like, just off the back of previous generations sort of having foresight.
I mean, I don't know, though. I don't know about these days whether, certainly in the West, the middle class has grown or grown wealthier in the last sort of 20 to 30 years. I don't think it has. I think actually we've seen, you know, from a time when in the sort of 60s and 70s, you know, you were able to support a family with one person employed and housing was a lot cheaper. Now, you know, it feels like everything is a lot. The middle class are being squeezed.
They always have been, really. I mean, it's just it feels more so now because there's just so much more involved. You know, like the 60s were definitely a simpler time. You know, you didn't have a house that was filled with stuff like you do nowadays, you know, like there's a lot more individual items that make up like the status quo of modern life, right? Like every house has to have like a big flat screen TV, every house has to have a couple of iPads, every house, you know, like it was much like the scale was smaller like in the 60s, right? You didn't have like all these extra things things cost a lot less, you earned a lot less, but I think it was still the same. I think the middle class is designed that way to be squeezed.
Maybe it was the same though. Maybe just vacuum cleaners were more expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
And TVs
it was
more
just,
expensive
there's just,
and now they're cheap and we have
like
the same
scale
amount.
Was just different, but it's still the
I
same. Just,
I guess system. The point I was sort of trying to make was that I think it's a bit of a shame.
My dog has figured out how to climb the stairs, guys.
Nice.
She's on my lap in my office right now.
Homeschooling is paying off big time for everyone involved.
She's figured out how to climb the stairs. This is a disaster.
You mean this is fantastic
no,
news?
No, it's not. I'll tell you why. We dog-proofed the downstairs. The rest of the house is not dog-proofed. She was eating the cat's food out of her bowl. The cat beat the hell out of her this morning when they met at the top of the stairs, and I thought, well, that'll put her off. And now here she is in my office. What are you doing here, lovely girl? You're not meant to be here. No, you're not.
Are you going to have to get a fence?
We have a stair gate downstairs. We're going to have to deploy the stair gate. Oh, you little monkey.
Anyway, P-Flex, I think what I was trying to get to was that I don't think you should feel bad about not leaving a castle to your... to your progeny, but
well, this is something. Relaxing. Listening to your soothing voice and petting my dog.
Nice.
Oh, thanks, man.
I need to take her downstairs. I'll be back in a sec.
All right. Jeez.
Come here. What are you doing?
Dogs.
I'll tell you what. He's going to leave that dog more than he's going to leave his family.
You're not even allowed to walk your dog anymore now. Like that doesn't count as your one exercise. You have to just let them outside your front porch. To do their doo-doos.
What do you mean?
You're not allowed to walk your dog. A mayor in Italy said, you're not Will Smith from I Am Legend. go home.
But you are allowed to go out once a day for exercise.
You are, but,
so you
but
do it
not
together.
To walk your dog doesn't count. Like you're not allowed to go out and walk your dog. Because what if your dog has the virus and is like sniffing another dog's butt and gives it to them? Because you can absorb it through your butt.
I don't think the dogs could carry the virus.
Well, didn't it start as an animal virus? Like I'm sure they can. I'm sure they must be able to get it.
Maybe they can then. I don't know. I think it made the jump from bats to cats to people.
From bats
I don't
to
know
cats.
If dogs can
nice.
Get it or something
nice.
Like that. Something like that, wasn't
yeah.
it? Holy crap. It's a funny old time, isn't
it? It's strange, yeah. But again, like you said, it doesn't...
Oh, my God.
Life has not changed very much for me. I feel like I've just been living this way for, like, the best part of a decade. So
I think a lot of people I speak to are very anxious. I think a lot of people are very stressed about this whole situation.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, the media doesn't really help in terms of... So if it does feel like... We've watched zombie movies for years and years, and suddenly, like, I don't know, all that unconscious fear and, you know, worry in the back of our mind and all those images we've seen gives us this big negative bias towards the whole thing
yeah.
and makes us a lot more anxious about it. I've sort of internalized a lot of that stuff. You know, everyone's watched Walking Dead and thought, oh, you know, what happens if I was in The Walking Dead? You know, just as a sort of thing. Yeah.
It's a scary time. I think it's scary for a few reasons. Ever since the turn of the century, I think things have been getting progressively sort of crap and aggressive, and everybody seems to beat each other's throats all the time. And I'm thinking, what has changed that's made us this way? Everything seems like I never used to be anxious. Things used to be pretty chill.
I'll tell you what it is.
What is it?
Esports.
Oh my God. Always comes back to esports, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To blame for everything. It's all these competitive gamers, you know.
Yeah.
They play video games all evening, shooting each other, beating each other up, and then they go to the streets and they do the same thing.
Yeah.
They should ban it. What was wrong with it with a stick and hoop? Just play with a stick and hoop, run down Rome. We used to play football at street after hours till our mums would get us in when it got dark, we'd have our tea, and now these kids are upstairs in their bedrooms all hours day and night, shooting each other with guns. Pretending to be giant monkeys and flipping laser lizards and stuff. And just, it doesn't make no sense. I don't know where it's come from. I think the world's gone to pot thanks to all these blooming video games. And it's what it must be wreaking havoc with their thumbs. I see my kids, they're whacking away with their thumbs. What are their thumbs going to be like when they're my age? They're going to be rotting off like a couple of gangrenous little stumps. You won't be able to play games then? Or probably not playing with their minds, but their minds will be melted. The amount of mush brains any of the VRs you have going in their brains are just a bunch of mush. Load of rubbish. Stick and hoop. Yeah, stick and hoop.
Well, don't forget, P-Flex.
Don't forget. My name's John, mate. John Bovril.
Johnny.
John Bovril.
John Bovril. Where did you play when you were a kid?
Played it straight with other kids, you know, just knocking about. Like we didn't need all these devices. I had a stick.
What about?
I had my stick and I had Moop, and that was it.
Moop. Fuck's sake. Well, listen, on that bombshell, I hope you enjoyed the Triforce podcast this week. It was a real one. And I hope that you're staying safe and quarantined until further notice. And stay frosty and go fuck yourself as well.
Thanks, goodbye, everyone. Love you.
Bye.